Rabbosai, we'll continue our discussion about Kedima Bebrochois.
Did she pass the test, by the way?
Pardon?
Did she pass the test?
I don't know, but I've got a fair for you today, so you can see whether you passed the test. I think she did, but she hasn't actually finished her conversion yet, so I don't know whether that's what's holding it up. But in any event, the dinim of kedima brachos are dealt with in Siman Reish Yud Aleph. They are quite complicated. They can be quite complicated, and there are different shittas. So I hope that the bits that I'm giving you, the extracts that I'm giving you, I hope I've understood properly, and that the halacha is right. So we'll start with a simple case, which is your typical average case, I think, where in most households people prepare 15 fruits, 15 hoetzes on a platter. Yeah, for whatever reason, why 15, etc., minhagim, but 15 fruits on a platter, usually it's a combination of fruits and nuts. You get, all nuts are hoetz except for peanuts, and therefore...
Donuts.
Oh, and donuts. Yes, you're right. And donuts. So people have that, and now I've got this plate that's come in front of me, and it's full of hoetzes. On which brocha am I going to make the brocha hoetz? So the halacha is that you make the brocha on the most choshev of them. The question is, which one is the most choshev? Which is the most important? Obviously, the most choshev peri will be a kovet for the brocha. If I make a brocha on the most, on the most choshev of those, the most important, the most distinguished of each of those peiros, then that is a mala, that's a mala for the brocha, it's a kovet for the Rabbeinu Shlom. So I'm going to choose the most choshev. The question is, which is the most choshev? So the first thing to say is, I think most people will have it on Tu Bishvat at night, maybe supper time. Yeah, they will eat that. They will have their plate of fruits as well. So do you eat the fruits before the meal, or do you eat the fruits after the meal? Or if you're having a Tu Bishvat party and you're giving tea and cake as well, am I going to eat the tea and cake first, or am I going to eat the fruits first, because today's Tu Bishvat and this entire party is here to cover the fruits? And the answer is very clear, and that is that in the pasuk it says Eretz Chito Usa'oiro before any of the fruits. And therefore, Eretz Chito Osoyo comes first, and therefore Bahamoitzi comes before any fruit, and Bezoinus comes before any fruit. So therefore, if your question is, do I eat first and fruits afterwards, the answer is yes. The other thing to say is that even if you make Hamoitzi never patas hoetz. So if you eat a hoetz in the middle of a meal, then you always have to make the brocha hoetz on it, because hoetz is not regarded as a mozon umaspia. It's not a chelek, an integral part of the meal. And therefore, I remember a long time ago, they used to serve like a hot baked apple sometimes with a meal. Yeah, it was like part of the main course. It was one of the side dishes, was a baked apple. I mean, if it's a strudel or something like that, then you've got other shilas. That could be a mazonis anyway. But if it's just a baked apple on its own, as far as I understand, and I stand to be corrected in all these halachas because they're not easy, and I might have got it wrong, but I believe you have to make a bari pi'oetz on the apple if you've got a baked apple, even though it's a side dish on the main course. In any event, so therefore, I'm going to make Hamoitzi first, I'm going to make Mazonius first, and then I'm going to make my Boer Pio8s. Now comes the question, on which of these Boer Pio8s do I make a Brocha? And the first rule is Shivas Haminim. The Shivas Haminim, the five fruits of the Shivas Haminim, which are the olive, in order, the olive, the date, the grape, figs and pomegranates. Those five fruits will take precedence in that order over any of the other peiros on the thing. Even though there are competing considerations for which one is the most choshev. Right? One of the competing considerations is the question of sholem. Right? What happens if you've got a complete fruit as against a started fruit, or a fruit that's been cut in half? Then the complete fruit takes precedence over a part. Then you have a question of choviv, another question which is involved in the decision as to whether or not to make the bracha on this fruit or on that fruit, will do, which one do I like? Yeah. So the rule is that Sholem is important, Choviv is important, but Shivas Haminim in a plate of fruit takes precedence over all of those. So now comes the Feher. Let's do an exam question and see. Supposing, let's make an assumption that, which is actually almost true, yeah, which is, let's assume that I love lychees. Okay, my favorite fruit is lychee. It's sweet and it's juicy. I like lychees, but it's not one of the Shivas Haminim. Okay, so therefore, we start off in a situation where I've got one grape, one apple, and one lychee. And I love the lychee. Right, the lychee is my favorite fruit. All right, I've got those three in front of me. Which bracha do I make? Simple answer, I make a bracha on the grape. Okay, I make the bracha on the grape because the grape is one of the Shivas Haminim, and therefore apple comes after that, and lychee comes after that. In other words, so I made my bracha hoetz, and it's chal on everything. It's chal on all the hoetzes that I'm about to eat. So that's the easy one. Okay, now what about if I've got a half a grape, a whole apple, and a whole lychee, and I love the lychee? But the grape, which is the Shivas Haminim, doesn't have the Milo of Sholem, because somebody's cut it in half, or half a date. Yeah. By the way, if you cut open a date in order to check it for worms, to check it there, that's still regarded as a Sholem, provided you haven't taken any of it away, although it's cut. Yeah, the same thing, but Tzias HaPas, we cut the bread as well before we make Hamotzi. That doesn't spoil it from being a Sholem.
But,
what? You score it on Shabbos, but during the week you're supposed to cut it, yeah?
So, that's on Shabbos.
Make the bracha first and then cut it.
What?
Make the bracha first.
A lot of people score it first before they make the bracha. Yeah.
In any event. You cut them in half, you don't have to make the bracha.
Pardon? But I'm saying, if you've got a half a grape, a whole apple, and a whole lychee, and I love the lychee, you make the bracha on the half grape. Because the mila of Shivas Haminim is greater than the mila of Sholem. Right, the mila of Shivas Haminim is greater than the advantage of a complete peri. Therefore, half a grape versus any other fruits, yeah, the grape will come first. But obviously, if I've got a half a grape, and maybe I've got a complete date, or a complete fig, maybe I should make the bracha on the complete fig, because then you're within the Shivas Haminim, but one is Sholem and the other one isn't. We'll carry on tomorrow, Bli Yehuda. It gets very interesting.
Started at Turaway, Northwest London. Thursday, Yud Aleph Teves, 29th of January. Reina Rav, Rav Moshe Chaim Lister Shlita, owning statues. This is sponsored by Family Greenberg, with Chesun Chabamitzvah of Ari Greenberg, Nereyoy, last Shabbos Yerotzen. Benishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov, Ben, Rabbi Shim, Paul, Tzvi, Itzkovitz, Zuchra, Noli, Brocho.
Sorry, could I have one of the handouts? Sorry, I need one for myself. Sorry. I only need one. Good morning, everybody. A real schuss to be here. My name is Moshe Chaim. I'm coming from Barnet. Oh, sorry, I need one of the handouts, not one of the pictures of my own face. Thank you. So you'll see on the handouts, I've given some pictures. Does anybody know on these pictures what is going on? This is really where we're starting today. What are these pictures? What is going on? Oh, very good. So this is quicker than most people I give the shir to have got it. They're making matzahs. However, there's something very strange about these pictures. Sorry? Out of order. Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's probably my fault. I put them out of order. I wouldn't be medayek too much in the Seder pictures that are there. Sorry?
They look fine.
They look fine. They look fine. Perfectly normal. You're not surprised to see this at all. Let me see if I start. I'm just going to.
All the mouths.
Oh, very good. So there's a problem with the mouths. Say better.
Small problem.
So you're right, it's a fascinating thing. These pictures are actually from the oldest surviving Ashkenazi Haggadah that we have record of. This was produced in the 1300s in Germany. If you turn over the page, which you're now allowed to do, you'll see where I got these pictures from. This is called, rather unimaginatively, the Birdhead Haggadah. And it's on display in Israel. And it's from Germany, 1300s Germany, oldest surviving Ashkenazi Haggadah. And it's called the Bird Head Haggadah because all the people... Sorry?
Bird cage?
I heard it's the Bird Head Haggadah. Bird Head Haggadah. Bird Head Haggadah. Because all the Jewish people, the Yidden depicted in this Haggadah, have birds' heads.
Why?
Now the question is, why? Why do they have birds' heads? What's going on here? So this is the sugya that we're going to explore today together. I'm not coming with grosser chedushim. I'm not coming with big horrors. It's just a gentle chazorah of the sugya of owning statues and whether that's mutter, how that might be navigated, etc., etc. And it's mamish in yonim. It's in mamish of this week's parashas, last week's sedra. We had v'chol elohim Yisrael says shvatim. Hashem's going to destroy the idols of Egypt. It's Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's Haggadah. It's a nice opportunity to go through this sugya. So I must say as well, this my interest was piqued when I was dropping off my daughter at a friend's cousin's house. So my daughter's friend's cousin, and my daughter's friend's cousin's neighbor lives. This is mamish opposite Tiferes Shlomo. There's two massive lions, massive statues of lions. Jewish house and mezuzah, massive statues of lions outside on their front porch or their front pathway. And it just sort of, it bothered me. I was like, is this mutter? You're allowed to have these massive lions at the end of the driveway? I was bothered about this, started looking into this, and it's a very interesting subject.
They're not biting.
Sorry? They're not biting. They're not biting. They're staying very still and very well behaved. So we have the Gemara in Daf Mem Be, where is it? It's Daf Mem Gimel in Avodah Zorah. And the Gemara establishes, I won't go through the whole sugya, it's about Omud. The Gemara establishes that you can't make certain images. This is based on the Posuk, Lo Sasun Iti, you're not allowed to make with me, says Hashem, graven images. And so the Gemara establishes you can't make the four faces of the Merakova together. You can't make the statue of a man or a person. You can't make malachim, srofim, malachi ashores, any of these things you're not allowed to have images of. And also the sun, the moon, the kechovim, and the mazolis. And mazolis, remember, mazolis also a problem. So you can't make any of these things. So if you had in mind that you wanted to have a depiction of the Merkava, big problem. Statue of a person, a problem. Malochim, Srofim, Malachi Ashores, all of these you're not allowed to make. Loisas on Iti, says the Pasuk, you're not allowed to have that in your home. So you're not allowed to make it, you're not allowed to own it, all these things. And also the sun, the moon, the Kechovim, and the mazolis. Now, there was a famous person who had one of these depicted very publicly. Rabbi Yochanan? Oh, yes, very good. Not Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel, the Beis Din, we know the Mishnayos from Rosh Hashanah, the Edom with Kiddush HaChodesh would come in, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, there's massive pictures of the sun, the moon, but the moon. How is that allowed? The Gemara answers the question, and the Gemara's maskana is there are three heterim that could be applied to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The first is that it was Barabim. And Rav Shimon Gamliel, he was the Nossi, so people came into his home. It was like a thoroughfare, his house. It was in public, so there's no chashad that Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to be over these pictures. It's not a problem. The second heta could be, it was made of separate pieces. They weren't actually complete images of the moon, but they were sort of like a puzzle almost. There wasn't one complete image. That seems to have been room to be makel as well. And similarly, and finally, lehislamit, you're allowed to teach. If you're teaching people, then that's potentially a heta as well there. But this is how the Gemara concludes, that you need a heta. You need a heta to have the sun, the moon, the stars, all these pictures. You're not allowed to make the Merkava, statue of a person, Malachi Ashores, or any other Malachim, and the sun, the moon, Kechav Mazolis, it's a big problem. Now, there is a machlokes rishonim as to how exactly to apply this issa, or how to apply, what are the gedorim of this prohibition here. So the Ramban holds in Avodah Zarah that it's forbidden to draw even a two-dimensional picture of a person. The Ramban holds when there is the Gemara making a person applies even to a two-dimensional person. And this, l'chayra, is why when it comes to the bird's head Haggadah, they were machmir not to draw the pictures of people in the complete form. Bear in mind, this Haggadah was printed in the 1300s. This is before the Shulchan Aruch, before we have this sort of way of codifying according to Rambam, the Rosh and the Rif. They, l'chayra, went with the Ramban and were machme even on a two-dimensional image that they shouldn't be then. As a result, they were machme not to have complete pictures of people. Now, this answers half the question. So we have this bird's head Haggadah. The Chayra then machmeh for the Ramban that even a two-dimensional image of a person is a problem. So they decided not to draw pictures of people. So why birds' heads? What's pshat birds' heads of all the people? I don't know, so draw the elephants, or I don't know, maybe just don't have faces at all. What's pshat with the birds? So there's a number of historians that give a number of very tenuous suggestions as to what this might be. One of them is that at the time, the German Jews were living under the protection of the Roman Empire. They were living under the tolerance of the Roman Empire. So as a gesture of gratitude to the Roman Empire, they depicted these eagles in the Haggadahs as a reference to the Roman Empire as a simon of the Roman Empire. Not quite sure whether that's 100% true. Another suggestion is that the Yetzias Mitzrayim is associated with Vayeschem al Kanfei Neshorim. So there's connection of Yetzias Mitzrayim with eagles. Hashem took us out on eagles' wings. So it could be that maybe this is just a reference to Geulah being associated with eagles. So they decided once we're not doing human faces, to be machmeh for the Ramban, also be machmeh, we'll tie in eagles because that's a reference to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. But I think potentially the most compelling one is that it's supposed to display, it's supposed to depict a dignity and a strength that the Jewish people have when they're going out, the preparation for Pesach. I know some people get very stressed, it's very nervy, but knowing the birds has Haggadah, you see the people going around doing their mitzvahs, preparing for Yom Tov with dignity associated with this regal bird of the eagles. So it's to show a nichbadus, a certain royalty with which the Jewish people go about performing its mitzvahs, especially Pesach. Finally as well, you'll notice, quite interestingly, that on the bottom picture of the Haggadah, there are some people on horses
without
faces at all. So this is very interesting. In this bird's head Haggadah, not everybody is depicted with an eagle's head. Whenever you have depictions of the Egyptians, they are depicted with humanoid faces, but with no features. So it's very interesting. This links, by the way, that it's a shvach of the Jewish people that they get depicted with birds' heads. Mashenki and the Egyptians, they just get depicted with blank faces. And people suggest that the reason why the Egyptians are depicted in this way is to sort of represent they have no power, they have no authority, they have no identity, they've been forgotten by history, and that is the Egyptians, they've gone away. But you see there as well that they were also makbid not to depict humans in their full form, even in a two-dimensional way. And Pashto says they were machmif the Rambam. Another case where this came up a lot more recently, who's this person in the picture, in the frame, next to these pictures? Does anybody know who this picture is? If you can turn over now, mutter to turn over, and right in the middle of the page, sorry, no, this is on this page over here, right over here, does anyone know who this is?
Yeah,
sorry?
Rembrandt?
Not Rembrandt. No, not the Chasm Sofa. Not the Vilna Goin. Uh-oh. What did you say? Very close, sort of. Chacham Tzvi. This is the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi. So he was very opposed to the Shabtai Tzvi. He was mamish fire against the. So I heard Tzvi. I'm like, oh, very good. So this is a picture of the Chacham Tzvi. It's a very controversial picture. This is actually brought in the Yad Binyamin, the Shulchan Aruch, who brings this story that the Chacham Tzvi, for a while, he was in London. And he was a rav for the Sephardi community there, which I think is why he got the name Chacham, because he was associated with the Sephardi community. They wanted to draw a picture, a portrait of the Chacham Tzvi. And he, b'shum ponim v'ofen, refused to have his portrait done. He absolutely point blank refused. The Yad Binyamin brings the story down. And even though they begged him, they pleaded with him, they said, k'mat reiv poiskim hold, there's no issue with it. He was machmir for the Ramban, not having his picture drawn, end of conversation. So this picture, which by the way was in display in London until a couple of years ago in the Jewish Museum, how did this picture come about? They found a guy with an incredible talent, and he drew this picture of the Chacham Tzvi from memory. Chacham Tzvi refused to sit for the picture, but he drew the picture of the Chacham Tzvi from memory. Rav Yaakov Enden of the Ayvet says that this picture was so good, this mamish you can see like the Ur Ponov coming from his face, but this picture was drawn without the Rishus of the Chacham Tzvi, but his son was made. It's a fantastic job. So if you're going to be over the rots in the Chacham Tzvi, at least do a good job. And other Yemes there, we have this picture of the Chacham Tzvi. But why was he so adamant that he's not going to sit for this picture? He held like the Ramban. Even two-dimensional images of people is a big problem. So just to come to more halacha lemaisa. So we have the Ramban, who holds even two-dimensional pictures of a person are a problem. And that's why we have the bird's head Haggadah, and it's the story behind the Chacham Tzvi there. But the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and the Rosh, kamat everybody else holds, the only issa of a person is when it's in a full depiction of this person in a three-dimensional way. So unless it's... let's see if we can see what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. According to this is what the Rosh and the Rambam say in the Shulchan Aruch, brings us down, Yoyodea, Simon, Kuf Mem Aleph, says Shulchan Aruch, Osa Letzai, Tzuris Shivim Dor Shechina, Kegoyin, Ponim, Bahadei Yadodi, Vechein Tzuris Trofim, Vaifanim, Malachi Ashoris, Vechein Tzuras Odom Levadei. Also a person by itself, you're not allowed to make this thing. Kol Elu, Osa La'asaisam, Afilu Lagoy, not even allowed to make them for a non-Jewish person. Vim Ove Kechovim Osoim Lai, and if a non-Jewish person made one for you, it says, oh, hey, I've brought you this wonderful statue or something. Osa La'asaisam, you're not allowed to keep it. So, but... L'chayra, that says the Shulchan Aruch, medvar murim but by letters. This is only when it's three-dimensional. Aval b'shekas, ka'isim she'orgim b'beged, but these sort of two-dimensional images, like they weave into these tapestries, which mitzayim b'kaisel, b'samonim, and these pictures they put on the walls, these like murals or paintings that you have on the walls, mutala seisam, and you're allowed to make those. Shulchan Aruch says, klar, Simon Kufim Aleph, sorry, in Yerodea, you're allowed to have a two-dimensional picture of a person. It's only three-dimensional. That's a problem. Right? That's okay. None of us are over on Avodah Zorah. None of us are over on Aseret HaDibros. That's absolutely fine. Interesting to point out, I think, it's Choshev as well. Why is making a person a problem? So I can understand maybe Malachi Ashores, these are sort of Kleichovim Mazolos, maybe. Why is making a picture of a person, or I should say not a picture, a model or a sculpture of a person a problem? Why, what's the, I just want to like break down, what is the actual issa there?
Creating a deity, something to serve.
Yeah, so this is what people are inclined to say. They say that it's because, you know, this guy, you go into the dining room, this guy's got a massive picture of whatever, a massive statue of whatever. It might be chosheh that maybe he's bowing down to this person. I don't think that's wrong. I think it's lacking a certain subtlety. The way the Rishonim speak about it is that because we are made b'tzelem elokim. So when you see an image of a person, when you see a statue of a person, you see Hashem in that statue. And then there's an inclination that you might start using it as an avenue for Hashem. It's not that you might bow down to this person. It's that humans represent Hashem. We say this at least once a week very, very clearly in davening. Where do we refer to Hashem as a person or in very human terms?
Yad.
Oh, so that's a good... Yeah, we speak about Hashem having yad. We speak about Hashem in even more explicit terms, but it's a time of davening where people are on their way out. That is an anim zmiris. In Alan Zmiris, it's Shabbos morning. We say Alan Zmiris here, right? Yeah, I say we, you. V'yechzu v'chol zikno v'charus. We talk about Hashem as an older person and a younger person. V'sareishchob seivo v'shachrus. And Hashem has hair. Zikno b'yoyim din. Hashem is an elderly, a sage on the yom din. V'acharus b'yoyim karov. When it comes to the days of battle, Hashem is a younger person. K'ish milchama yodav loyrav. We speak Hashem in very human terms. And it's obviously not that we are what Hashem is based on, but there is the idea that we are made, but tzelem elokim. And there is a kedusha, and there is a visibility of Hashem when you look at the human form. So that's that. Now, while we're talking about this, let's quickly go to the most common human images or human statues that we will probably have at home. You guys don't... Do you have statues at home? Anybody? You say that, very good. Dolls. Dolls are number one. Number one is dolls. This is very interesting. So, what do we say? Dolls. By the way, Barbie was created by this Jewish lady called Ruth Handler in America. She created the Barbie. So, what's pshat with dolls? How are dolls mutter? It's a three-dimensional, full form of a person. How do we get around the issa of dolls? So the Oz Nibru, which is Rav Zilber, who is a Talmud of the Chazanish, and who, by the way, the Chazanish gave him the name, his name is Rav Binyamin Zilber, the Chazanish called him Binyamin Atzadik. So he has a tshuva in Oz Nibru, in Simon Nuntes, and he's asked about mannequins in shops. He says, "What? How are we allowed to have shop mannequins? You know, that's mumsh life-size, so what's that there?" So he says that Lemaisa, in today's day and age, we're not choshesh people are bowing down to any of these statues. The mice of the chashash isn't there. However, it's a good thing to do to remove maybe a finger or some sort of element of the mannequin. That's a good practice to do. There's also another heta as well. There's a heta of mevuzim. And if you saw the trials and suffering that my kids' dolls are subject to, there is no way that you would think that this is a chosh of deity that anyone gives any power to or significance to at all. So you see the way these things are treated, then there's no chashash that it's going to be like that as well. And furthermore, they say when it comes to specifically Lego as well, another kula for Lego is that in Mamish, again, a three-dimensional picture of a person, a Lego man, so or woman, why is that an issue? It doesn't look like a human being. Mamish is not Tsuras Odom anymore, Bichal. The guy doesn't have a neck and his hands are like this. It doesn't look like a person. That's okay. However, despite serious Stodim Lahokel, and Rav Zilba says it's absolutely fine, I've heard B'Shem Rav Vosna that you should damage the dolls. And you can. We're going to see soon that even if you take off a small part of the doll, it's okay. So maybe clip off a finger or a toe, whatever it is. Rav Vosna says it's best to be machmir for this. And I also heard B'Shem another posek who, I'm not going to say his name, I didn't hear it necessarily reliably in his name, but if a doll's head comes off, you shouldn't put it back on. Tell your kids, if this doll's head comes off, it's not going back on, because then your mama's making an idol. You're making a tzelem. So you shouldn't, even if the doll's head comes off, you say, good, that's it. We've lost another tzelem in the house. That's very, very good.
It's not a doll anymore.
Sorry? But when you put it back on, that's a problem. So there really is a sliding scale of this. So my brother, he's a very chosh of a younger man in Kailal in Manchester. He was talking about shaitel heads with his wife. And shaitel heads are, so I come from United Synagogue community, and rule number one is hide the shaitel heads when guests come to the house, because there's only so much these guys can have, there's heads jumping off the wall. But there's a kula when it comes to shaitel heads specifically. Look over there, it's not a complete body. It's just the head. And the points can bring out, Moshe Kalin point out, that's absolutely fine. It's not a complete person, not a complete. And it's bichlal, it doesn't even look like a person. It's basically, at best case, there's a nose and eyes. However, my brother was saying to his wife that, you know, there are poiskim that hold, it should be machmir, maybe just, you know, take out the nose or whatever. And he's made that with a zrizus. She took the back end of a hammer and she was Marsh Kanoim Poigin Boy on the Seitel head. Screwdrivers, hammers. The people are Mamish Machmir. People are Mamish Machmir, but even the Seitel heads, you should be. Oh, so my wife told me that Yesh Machmir, Mamish, the more tsar you can give the Seitel head, it seems. Harry's never Shiva. So the people take pins and they put them in the eyes. And it's just. I think you can get maybe a bit carried away here. there's massive room to be made of, but you mamash see the whole spectrum of practice. Some people hold that it's mamash okay, there's no problem, they're mavuzim, there's no chashash of avodah zara. And some go to the other extreme and say, yeah, even shaitel heads you should be taking out and you should be mamash destroying as much as you can. 3D printers, the chorus, the same issue is no different to a person if you were making it by hand. So just to go through the Shulchan Aruch says it's only a complete three-dimensional image of a person that's a problem. Anything else is okay. So if it's not three-dimensional, if it's not complete, you're okay. The Shach does say, Chol machmir tovay lov brocha. The Shach does say, let's just see, V'amachmir b'chol zeh tovay lov brocha, says the Shach, and this is in Sif Cotton Lamed over here in Simon Kufme Malaf. He does say, despite lots of Sodom Lahokel, if you are Machmet, Tovay Lo Brocha, and Lachor, that's the Makori for people who are busy destroying Shaitel heads.
In the bird head Hakota, there are no complete pictures of human beings.
Exactly.
They're all missing the legs or something like that.
Yeah, oh, you say, but, not even the whole goof is there. Very, wow. That's a good horror. I didn't see that. Haven't got it.
Where's
my mouth? That's very interesting, because maybe they were Dafka Machmir there as well. Right. It could be as deliberate as well, that even the whole body did it very, very good. But there is another doll. There's another doll there.
Both. On seeing it?
Not seeing it. Seeing it. See it. If you just see it, that's fine. You know, you don't have to. Just to go back to basics, you're right. You can't make it. You can't make it for yourself or for a non-Jew. And if a non-Jew makes it for you, you can't keep it. That's, again, we're talking about a statue that were chayshish people are going to be over, that there's a chashash of Edizar. There's already kulas, today's day and age, where there's no concern of Avodah Zorah so much anymore, when you have this heter of mavuzim, the way we treat them is not respectful anyway. They are heterim, but again, says the Shach, tovei lov brocha, anybody who's machmeh, it's a good thing to do. But there's this doll. This is, now, we won't know this doll. on the top, on the second side,
yeah.
At the top, there's a doll there. We won't know this doll because we're English. This is a very it's a very distinctive American doll. Does anybody know who produces this doll? Very interesting.
Trump.
Cabbage Patch. I'm not sure. So this doll is produced by the Amish. The Amish produce this doll, and the Amish are a group of very firm Christians, and they reject any technology. They don't have electricity. I don't think they even have buttons. They live very simple lives in Pennsylvania, and they have quite a distinctive community. These are the dolls that they give their kids, and there are two reasons given as to why they produce this distinctively faceless doll. One is that we are all created equal in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Hashem. They don't want to sort of lend a particular credence or preference to the way a person looks. Everybody looks good, don't worry about it, we don't need to focus on externals like that. And also, another reason they give is because of this issa of Loisa Soniti, don't have graven images in your home. So they are very machmir, as it were, on this element of Torah, and they produce the doll in this way, so that it shouldn't look like a human, to avoid the concern of making Avodah Zarah. Now this, the Chorah, is already better. It's not Betzura Shleima Mamash, says the Shach. It's not in this perfect image, it's not in a complete form. So that's probably better than the Barbie dolls, L'chaira, then some people would say that you have to chop bits off. I don't think even Ravosna would have an issue with such a doll like that. Okay, we're going to quickly get to animals. The Shulchan Aruch, we've done people, let's look at animals. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Vov, Kufman Aleph Yerodeh Simon Vov, Sivov, Tsuris Abahemus Chayes for Oifes Vidogim. All these animals, the Tsuris Ilonis and Soim, and all these trees, the Kiyates of Him, Mutta Lutsuresan Vafilu Haisa Tsura Veletes. Animals, trees, absolutely fine, says the Shulchan Aruch. No problem with this at all. So, let's go back to my daughter's cousin's friend's neighbor's house. So there we have the two lions, says Shulchan Aruch. Animals are absolutely fine. There's no issa of having animals at all. However, the Bach has a horror here. And the Bach says that lions, and he says it specifically with lions, lions are one of the mazolis that we have, and the Gemara says, you're not allowed to make mazolis. He says, the lion is the mazol of Chodesh Av. As a result, how can you make the statue of a lion? It's one of the mazolis. Now the Shach jumps on this and says, hang on a second. There's not just one mazel here. There's loads of animals in the mazolis. You know, for example, Iyar is a shor, and Nisan is the tle. Lo'olam lo nizar. We haven't seen anybody who's nizar on making mazolis. So the Shach says, we don't go like this. Lion's absolutely fine. And the only issa is if you made a whole zodiac-style compilation of all the animals together, that might be a problem with mazolis. But to make animals separately would be okay. So the Bach held it's a problem. Most poskim hold it's absolutely fine. There is a minhag in the community of bells. The bells go like the Bach. And yet I've heard that you won't see any lions depicted in the bells of communities, on the Sifrei Torah, or anywhere. The bells won't have a lion. What's Pshat? So this is an amazing story that the Bach was once upon a time the Rav of the city of the village of bells. And it seems, this is Kavalik, it seems that he didn't get on with them, probably because he was telling them to be frumer that they wanted to be, and they weren't interested. They decided to fire the Bach from his position as the Rav of bells. And the way the story goes is, they didn't have the guts, as was upon them, to go over to the Bach himself and say, you're fired. Who'd they give the job to give the letter of dismissal? They gave it to the Shamash. The Shamash had to go and deliver the letter of dismissal to the Bach. But the Shamash got the letter, so it was written, on Friday. So don't want to give the Bach this letter of dismissal on Erev Shabbos. It's going to shtare the whole Shabbos. So you only gave the letter to the Bach on Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, he comes into the Bach, says, the Rav, unfortunately, you have to deliver this letter. Bach reads the letter and sees the date was for Friday. So he says to the Shamash, why didn't you bring the letter on Friday? And he says, I'm so sorry, Rav. I didn't want to stare the Rav Shabbos. I didn't want to, you know, stare the Menuch of Shabbos. I just thought, it can wait till Motzei Shabbos. It's not so terrible. Bach says, as a Koros HaTayv, for not wanting to stare my Shabbos, you're going to have a son who's a Talmud Chacham. He's going to be a big Talmud Chacham. Turns out the Shamash had a son who grew up one day to be the Rav of bells, as the Bracha from the Bach. But as a result, the Bach was fired from his position as the Rav of bells, and he had to leave. Now, As a result, just to for halacha lemaaseh, as a result, the Belzers, as a result of the sort of the guilt that they feel, the way the town of Belz treated the Bach, the Belzers take on, we're going to be machmei for the shitta of the Bache, and we're not going to have any lions and shuls and any of our homes, anything like that. So they take on the shitta of the Bach in this inyan as almost like an apology to the way that he was treated and the way that it all went. I've heard that the story continues. 200 years later, when the Tsar Sholem was now the Rav of Belz, there was a plan to build new roads in Belz. Belz was famous for having bad roads. And the local authorities were going to build a road right through the Beis HaKvaros. And they begged and pleaded to cancel the plans for the road. And they said, absolutely not. We are continuing on with these plans for the roads. But when we dig up the ground to make the road, if you find any bones, you can rebury them. It's a big sorrows for the community. They're very upset about this. Couldn't change the plans. They asked the Tsar Sholem, what's pshat? Why are we getting this horrible decree? What's happening here? He says, because the way you treated the Bach, because the way this community treated the Bach, kicked them out, this is one of the einshim that you're having as a result. So unfortunately, they built the road through the Beis HaKvaros. They had to relocate all the bones they could find. But legend has it that there was one grave that was undisturbed, and that was the son of the Shamash, who had given that letter to the Bach only on Motzei Shabbos. And because this person, this Shamash, was so makbid not to shter the menucha of Shabbos at the Bach, his son's menucha wasn't shtered, and he got his grave stayed untouched throughout the whole Beis HaKvaros. So a big musa on how to treat Rabbonim, the covered of Shabbos, very, very special. But yes, it is. Yes, but the Masa Makara is only making them together. That's the problem. So that's that.
All the lions that they have by the Luchos or on the Mount Sefer Torah, etc., none of them are really 3D complete models.
There's another header as well. Yeah, 100%. It's not 3D.
It's a bit flat or a
yes, box. Yes. But even a statue would be okay. Yeah, so those lions outside Teres Shlomo, Mutter, they're definitely not Belzers. That's all I can tell you. Finally, just to conclude as well, there's also this cat at the bottom, the last picture on there, the cat. Yeah. So this, people think, is Avodah Zorah. This cat, I'll spare you all the stories about it, but it's a Japanese cat called the Maneki Neko. And long story, it's not an Avodah Zorah. There's lots of stories about what this cat did, but bottom line is, it beckoned somebody into somewhere, and something good happened. Either they got saved from an army, or they got saved from the rain, or whatever it was. So this idea of a beckoning cat is not a deity, it's not Avodah Zorah, it's like a superstitious omen. So as Avodah Zorah, I don't think it's going to be a problem. As Darkei Mairi in superstition, it might be an issue, but it's still better than things like the Buddha. There's mamash Avodah Zorah, get these statues of Buddha, mamash Avodah Zorah, do not touch them, do not go near them, that's a big problem. So, just to summarize where we're holding. Three-dimensional images of people are, generally speaking today, considered to be okay, in as much as they are mevuzim, we don't treat them with any particular respect, there's no chashash of Avodah Zorah anyway. I would just say, if you've got a very choshev statue in your garden, you can pay thousands of pounds for these things, it's kedai to just take a piece off. Anyway, you take a piece off, according to the shach, as long as it's not surah shleim or mamish, you're okay. When it comes to animals, they're absolutely fine. Any pictures of animals you have in the garden, hedgehogs, birds, bushes, it's absolutely fine. Unless you're a belzer, in which case you shouldn't have a picture of a lion, and that's because of the way that the bach was treated, so they're machmir for his shitta. And also finally, even the Shulchan Aruch does say, two-dimensional images of Koychovim and Mazolais, the sun, the moon, the stars, that is a problem. However, I have heard, Shem Moshe Feinstein, that if you have a kid who's drawing like a little, you know, very shaky drawing of a sun, unless it's like a really good picture, it's okay. But the idea is that we shouldn't even have two-dimensional images of the sun, the moon, and the stars in their complete form. And that's because when you look at them in the sky, they look two-dimensional. So that is how they are presented, as it were, in their realistic form. That's the way we see them, that's the way you perceive them. So we should make sure that we don't even have complete two-dimensional images of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Every Jewish home's got a statue, a Jewish husband. Not allowed to be.
He's saying there's a picture. So I guess.
It's like a photograph of a statue.
So Gemara says, you're not allowed to make these things, which implies that there was a practice. Yeah, 100%.
Definitely.
No, it's not that it's sort of Avodah Zarah, it's making Avodah Zarah. So it seems that there was this practice to make these images and then even worship them as well.
Same thing with the problem.